You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
Of course it's you. Who else could they send? Who else could be trusted?
I know it's a long way and you're ready to go to work. All I'm saying is wait. Just wait. Just
please hear me out, because this is not an episode. Relapse. Fuck up. I'm begging you, Michael. I'm begging you. Try and make believe this is not just madness, because this is not just madness. 2 weeks ago,
I came out of the building, okay? I'm running across 6th Avenue. There's a car waiting. I got exactly 38 minutes to get to the airport, and I'm dictating. There's this panicked associate sprinting along beside me, scribbling in a notepad, and suddenly she starts screaming, and I realize we're standing in the middle of the street, the lights change, and there's this wall of traffic, serious traffic, speeding towards us, and I freeze. I can't move. And I'm suddenly consumed with the overwhelming sensation that I'm covered with some sort of film. And it's just in my hair, my face, and it's like a glaze, like a coating. And at first I thought, oh my God, I know what this is. This is some sort of amniotic embryonic fluid. I'm drenched in afterbirth. I've breached the chrysalis. I've been reborn. But then the traffic, the stampede, the cars, the trucks, the horns, boom, and screaming. And I'm thinking, no, reset. This is not rebirth. This is some kind of giddy illusion of renewal that happens in the final moment before death. And then I realize, no, this is completely wrong, because I look back at the building and I had the most stunning moment of clarity. I realized, Michael, that I had emerged not through the doors of Kenner, Bach, and Lodeen, not through the portals of our vast and powerful law firm, but from the asshole of an organism whose sole function is to excrete the poison, the ammo, the defoliant necessary for other, larger, more powerful organisms to destroy the miracle of humanity. And that I had been coated in this patina of shit for the best part of my life. The stench of it and the stain of it would in all likelihood take the rest of my life to undo. And you know what I did? I took a deep cleansing breath and I set that notion aside. I tabled it. I said to myself, as clear as this may be, as potent a feeling as this is, as true a thing as I believe that I have witnessed today, it must wait. It must stand the test of time. And Michael, the time is now.
There's a guy I don't know wearing a Chris Crespo shirt.
Chris Crespo radio show. Everybody likes it.
Listen to his shit.
Ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
The Lord tells me he can get me out of this mess, but he's pretty sure you're fucked.
First, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value.
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
What about you guys? We ain't found shit.
Well, we might as well have a good time.
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe fuck yourself.
Welcome to Cinema Crespo Tiso.
Happy anniversary to us. That's right, it is the fourth anniversary show of Cinema Crespediso. Welcome to episode 211. I'm your host, Chris Crespo, Orlando's number one film critic. That's right, you're listening to Florida's number one movie podcast. If you can think of a better movie podcast in Florida, you can go fuck yourself. That's Drew Chicagrin right there.
Chris.
Florida's number one Drewster.
We're 4 years old.
We're 4 years old, bro.
We made it. That's legal drinking age, right?
Yeah, that's like 20. That's years? Like 29 in human years. 4 years old in podcast years. We're ancient at this point.
God, seriously.
You know how many podcasts start and don't even make it a year?
How many?
Most of them. There are literally like tens of thousands of podcasts out there that are active, let alone the tens of thousands that have started and stopped.
Yeah.
We've been doing it 4 years in a row, week in, week out. And this is one of my favorite traditions, Drew.
Which tradition is that?
It is a tradition in which we have an anniversary episode. We've done it now 4 years in a row. It's a tradition.
It is tradition.
4 years in a row, our anniversary show, we celebrate it with the one and only Tom the Beer Guy.
Hey!
Yeah, yeah!
What's up, Tom?
Hey guys, somehow I've become your anniversary present.
Yes,
because we love having you on.
Because you're an awesome guy. You've got great stories. And not to mention that you always bring the beer.
Cheers! So, cheers!
And I've got to wonder just how much this little keg I bring has to do with my my anniversary invite.
It is 100% about your disposition and your personality. We love you, Tom. You know, man, we've gone back to the SBK Live days.
Oh,
can we
miss those days.
Can we do a minute of Member When? Can we do that?
Oh, good Lord.
Do you remember when, Chris?
I remember doing through SBK Live, doing that for a couple of years. I got to meet such awesome people as Curtis Earth, and we met Stephen Kramer and Tom. I got to meet Tom. We were hanging out in the parking lot after the show, the after show parties.
Man, that was the best times. You know, after the show, we'd all go down, have some beers, cut up.
Under the stars in Maitland, Florida.
I learned a lot about black culture through SBK.
That's true. Yeah,
I'm pretty white. I thought I had a feel for what those fellas were going through.
Oh yeah,
you think you do?
He made it a lot more clear.
Oh no,
Kevin's a great guy. He's a very open-minded dude who's all about like helping people, bringing people into the fold. He's so good at bringing people together.
He looked at me one time. He looked at me one time. He goes, "Tom, when I get pulled over by the police."
Uh-huh.
That's very different than when you get pulled over by
that was just uh-huh. true, yeah.
And that hit me like a ton of bricks, and it was so obvious, but it just came home at that point.
Yeah, when someone tells it to you, and someone you trust and you know.
Because I knew what an upstanding man that black man in front of me was.
Yes, but cops don't know that when they're pulling a person over in a nice-looking car. Like, I'm going to pull this dude over because it's obviously stolen.
His car ain't that nice.
Can't be.
Nice enough to justify pulling him over. Come on. Florida, guys. I was also going to say something, but I forgot. It's cool. Tom, we love having you here because once every 4 years, this is how we're doing it now. Sponsored by Orange Blossom Pilsner, OBP.
In the house.
The most delicious beer in Florida. I got to say, I love it. A lot of, in the last few years.
Everywhere now.
The OBP was
everywhere.
Sponsored a couple episodes of our show very early on. We're very proud to say that. And now the craft brew explosion, especially here in Central Florida, is amazing. It's incredible. There's so many great beers out there. How do you feel about the explosion, Tom? Even more so than it has been 4 years ago.
Well, I've been doing the craft thing for going on 30 years. So
yeah, you're an OG.
You can definitely call me OG in craft.
Yes.
I was doing it before it was cool. And I really am happy about the growth and, you know, people appreciating good beer. And but there is some less than awesome beer being made out there.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's up to us to kind of police ourselves. Mm-hmm. And it's up to the consumer to... You know, only buy good beer. That's who should survive.
Okay, well then, Tom, you have the platform here. Go out, call them out by name. Which brewer? Which one's going down? Which brewers do we have to shit on and make sure they shut down or they at least step up their game? Do you want to know? Tom's shaking his head. No, he's not
going to do it. Tom's
not
that kind of guy.
Not going for that one. But
use your palates, people. You can tell good beer from bad beer and support people that are making good, awesome beer.
That's true. That's the thing about the craft beer market. You are catering to people who like do have specific tastes and are seeking out different tastes. And different things, and you would hope that also the market's big enough for everyone. The whole rising tide floats all boats idea.
Absolutely, we've believed in that from the onset. Mm-hmm. That we all rise and fall on the same tide.
Yeah, that's true.
I think we all need to police ourselves as well.
True.
You know,
okay,
and,
yeah,
and
absolutely.
Make sure that we're making good beer. And I try as well as I can to help people up before I push them down.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Maybe we'll do that more privately behind the scenes as opposed to just putting everyone on blast out here on Cinema Crest. So people in Australia want to know what Central Florida breweries are fucking up. I don't think they do,
I'm not talking I'm not talking Central Florida in particular.
But craft brewing in general, the scene in general.
The growth has gotten so big that you know, some of the quality has been left behind. A lot of people have jumped on just looking for the money.
Absolutely.
And it was only passion. You know, this movement started on passion. Mm-hmm. And then anybody that's been doing it like me, they didn't do it for stacking cash. They did it because that's what they
believe. Because it's love. It's the same thing with podcasting. And as more podcasts become more successful, there's more money, more people get into it, and the quality of the whole thing overall goes down.
Yeah, the similarities, I'm sure.
Yeah, you know, we've been doing our best Cinema Crest piece so to bring that standard as far down as possible.
Yes.
But somehow there are shows out there that do it even better. And
sure,
we have to work harder at bringing down that standard so we can all...
We have to work harder at being worse.
Yes.
We're not bad enough.
Guys, Tom, thank you so much for joining us. I'm going to ask you more about OBP specifically in the second half of the show.
All right,
I don't know what you guys got new going on. But I do want to also get the show started. And before we start, we're doing this now. It's the threat level update. You guys ready for a threat level update?
Yes, sir.
The current threat level is black. Report your supposed pets.
I have one cat.
Report it. Report your cat.
I just reported.
Oh, okay.
I reported to you. Oh, okay. I own a cat.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. Yeah, well, the government's listening. Threat level black. Report your supposed pets. Guys, we do. It used to be the Netflix instant pick of the week, Tom. But now it's evolved. We got rid of the Crespedisa Randomizer 9000. We threw it into the trash. Now we have the Crespedisa Randomizer
9000.1.
That is right. And with that, we do the streaming pick of the week. And that has a theme song, and it goes like this. Hold on a second.
I'm so concerned about what back.
Movies on fleet. Streaming. Pick of the week. Streaming.
Pick of the week. Week. That's a new version. Updates, man. Updates.
I can't believe you kept it.
Fuck yeah, I'm keeping it. It's evolving. It's growing. It's going to change now. Watch throughout the year. That's how it's going to go, guys. Streaming pick of the week time. There's so many movies out there available for everyone to watch. How do you keep track of it all? How do you know what's worth your time? This is where we come in. We're going to give you a recommendation every week. Tom used the randomizer. It didn't take his hand off, so the warranty is still good on that thing. That's good to know. You know, we got you covered insurance-wise. But we're good. Tom, go ahead. Let everyone know. What is this week's streaming pick of the week?
Hero!
Oh, shit. It gets one of these if I go all over here.
That is definitely on Netflix. 100%. I saw it on there yesterday.
I will drink to Hero. Is this, I meant to ask, is this straight up OBP?
Yes, it is.
Nice. The classic OBP is what we're drinking. This podcast is fueled by OBP today. I'm going to take another.
Of course it is.
Mm. That's so good, guys. Make sure you drink that. It's available pretty much wherever Netflix. Beer is sold. Hero on Netflix. We are talking about the film starring Jet Li, Tony Leung, Zhang Ziyi, and Michelle Yao, and it's directed by Zhang Yimou. Zhang Yimou is about to have a movie here in America in February. The guy who he started his career making old school like operatic Chinese movies. And in the 90s, he finally got into like mixing that with martial arts and started making martial arts movies that were also kind of operatic, the same sort of sensibility. And this movie Hero that came out back in like 2004. It is like it's a kung fu movie, but like the way Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon is a kung fu movie. It's very gorgeous and
color coded.
It is color coded.
Everything is in the same color. It's awesome.
In a Rashomon style, the same story is told from like two or three different perspectives, and depending on the perspective, everyone's wearing green clothes and it's green curtains, or everyone's wearing blue like distinct sharp blue. Whole armies or like blue flags and stuff. It's a very gorgeous movie. You know, if you happen to maybe eat a certain kind of edible, a delicious kind, Drew. I don't know why you're laughing. Delicious edible. That's what I'm talking about. I'm just saying, if you eat delicious edibles,
or if you're a fan,
I'm not
of
saying what kind of edibles, or if you're a fan of fungus. Oh, Drew, that's interesting. If you're a fan of fungus, are you talking about portobellos?
Yes.
Okay. This movie would be even more interesting to watch because it is so like visually, it's like splendorific. You know what I'm talking about, Tom?
I think I do.
You know what I'm saying? Do you like kung fu movies, martial arts movies ever?
Not
at any point.
Yeah, no, not so much. I could really appreciate a Kill Bill. I think they did a great job with that movie.
Super fun. Tarantino, because he loves martial art movies, so he knows like the cool things to pull out from them, you know? The guy who did the fighting in that, who orchestrated the fighting, same guy who did the Crouching Tiger fight scenes and the Matrix.
Nice.
Fight scenes and all that stuff. It's all the same dude, which is interesting. And I think he's worked with Zhang Yimou before. I don't know if necessarily on this particular movie, though.
I've enjoyed a few Jackie Chan movies. You know, just the choreography and such is really neat.
That's the best part. I mean, that's what sets them apart from other action movies.
They might as well be dancing.
Yes, exactly.
Hell, in Hero, they might as well be dancing.
Yeah, in Hero. Hero is like, there's a scene where it's like ballet on the water, the way that they're so graceful and everything. And they're using weapons, but they're just props, you know, it's, it really is dancing, just a little more violent looking.
Yeah.
Just at the end, someone might get a spear in their side.
Oh yeah.
But you mentioned Kill Bill, and Kill Bill, someone got slashed and they're like, just spray of blood all over the wall. You know, I don't think, is there even any blood in Hero, Drew? I don't think so. It might even be PG-13. Although I think there is a titty in it too.
I think there might be, yeah.
There might be a titty, which might have made it rated R in America, but I don't even think there's really any blood. Although it's still action-packed, though.
Oh, man, dude, the mental battle that they have.
Yeah, there's like, you'd appreciate this, Tom. There's one part where these two guys, one guy who's a magistrate, he is trying to arrest one of like the four, one of the three main like bad guys, one of the main three main, top assassins in the land.
The nameless assassins.
One of the nameless assassins, like Sky and Arrow, like their code names or whatever. So he confronts one to fight him.
That's Donnie Yen.
It's Donnie Yen. So it's Jet Li versus Donnie Yen, two legends, Hong Kong Chinese filmmaking legends at this point. And they fight each other for a second, ching ching ching, just have a basic fight scene, and then this guy who's like playing this old blind guy is playing this, you know, the lap guitar that's like bing bing bing, right, that thing.
Yeah.
He stops playing. He's like, oh, there's a fight, I gotta leave. Those are like a spa. He's like, I'm leaving here. And then they stop fighting. Like, no, old man, like, finish your song. So he sits there. They give him some money. He sits down, sets up, he plays his song, and then they just stand there and they close their eyes.
Stare at each other.
And then they stare at each other, close their eyes, and they have an entire fight scene. Like inside their mind, and then the whole fight's incredible. And then at the end, they open their eyes, and then there's like a one move thing, and then the fight's over. And then it happens again later. They have another in their mind fight scene. That's one where then they're like bouncing around on the water, and it's like straight up like fairy tale craziness.
Yeah,
it's weird. Like
balancing,
dude,
on the tips of each other's swords.
Yes, like, yeah, it's so funny, but it's a beautiful though. I think you'd appreciate it, Tom.
It's crazy.
You know, that's why I'm asking. Like. Bruce Lee movies. You weren't into like Enter the Dragon, stuff like that?
No, I sure wasn't. They kind of circled through in a time of my life where that just wasn't where I was at.
Just wasn't even in your space to be like, I'm going to check out an hour and a half of Bruce Lee. Like,
no, I appreciated what he did and his art and his work.
Yeah.
And it's a sad story.
Just wasn't your thing, though.
It's
interesting. Well, for some reason, Drew, where are you having that? I don't even know if I've asked Drew. Drew, have you ever grown up watching kung fu movies, martial arts movies? Or
I mean, did I grow up watching them? Not necessarily.
Yeah.
I mean, I was familiar with Bruce Lee as like a cultural icon thing.
Yeah. Like Bruce Lee, Bob Marley.
Exactly.
People.
Yeah.
Just people in pop culture.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely knew the story of Bruce Lee because, you know, I was into The Crow when it first came out. So I knew who Brandon Lee
was.
Because
of Brandon Lee. That's interesting.
And the story behind. I mean,
that's interesting.
I wasn't like into Brandon Lee, but The Crow was a good movie back in the day.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I love The Crow. Yeah. All right.
You know, as I ponder further, I realize why I wasn't into that too much. A lot of the kids when I was growing up were into big time wrestling, and I thought that was just the stupidest shit you could ever see.
And are we talking? So we're talking 70s wrestling?
Yeah. Dusty Rhodes.
The Southern Sparta wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
And you thought it was stupid? I would have loved to have grown up. I would have been, Tom, I would have been into it if I was growing up. That Dusty
Chris
Rhodes.
Loves that shit.
Dusty Rhodes, baby. Yeah, baby. Bear. Come
it
on,
just,
Daddy.
It made no sense to me.
No,
it just was stupid as it could be, and it just extrapolated out everything.
You sniffed out the 70s, how fake it was.
Oh, the glorification of it, and you know, just the mob mentality that goes along with it.
Yes, there is the Roman Colosseum yelling at the Christians, celebration of violence aspect of it, too.
It's so primitive.
I think that's kind of actually been scaled back by the now open acknowledgement of everyone that it is scripted entertainment. Now it feels a little less like it's still glorifying that culture, the violence and stuff, but at least now everyone's going into it knowing it. Back then, there are still people like, no, this is real. Like, Dusty Rhodes is a goddamn American. He will elbow your face off if you fucking, what are you, a commie? You
know? I don't know if a lot of the audience remembers, but I spent 20 years as a stagehand before I was a studio mechanic, before I was a beer guy.
That's true. You had an entire life where you were carrying bags of gasoline past Mel Gibson on the set of Lethal Weapon 3. And absolutely, there are new listeners to the show since the last time you've been on. So yeah, go ahead and remind people.
But I was, as much as I despise wrestling as a kid, I grow up and I become a grip and a lighting guy, and I'm working out of Universal Studios, and one of my best clients became to be WCW.
Yeah.
And I know I shot at least 200 episodes
Damn.
Of World Championship Wrestling, and it just was...
This was in the 80s?
No, this is the late 90s. This is the late 90s.
So this is during the whole Monday Night Wars and stuff like that? See, I don't think, Tom, you were saying before this show, I got stale stories. I don't think you've mentioned on the show that you've produced over 200 episodes of WCW. Are you talking like Monday Night Nitro and stuff like that?
Yeah.
You signed off Monday Night Nitro and you never even told me, Tom, I was watching that stuff,
Well, it
man.
Was mostly their episodic stuff, but they pulled me in to do some of their specials once in a while. You know, we'd do like six shows in a day. Universal Studios.
Doing what exactly?
We would shoot an episode of four or six matches and move in, once the audience got tired, we'd move them out and bring a new audience in and shoot all day long.
That's amazing.
We'd shoot 20 or 25 episodes in 10 days.
Holy crap.
That's incredible. That's amazing. I had no idea.
And what were you doing? Were you like...
I ended up running Spotlight when I was working the show. I was a spot operator on it.
That's awesome.
It was pretty funny.
And so then now you're coming full circle to being growing up and like, fuck Dusty Rhodes and all that shit. And then now you're getting paid.
To keep Spotlight on Dusty Rhodes.
To keep it on him. and you have to pay it. In a way, you have to pay attention to make sure you don't lose that light.
Oh, I did a good job for them. They were lit well.
I'm sure you did. When you put your mind to something, you definitely do it. To the best you can. But did you come to any sort of appreciation of the craft of the form of the business, or at the end when on your last day where you're like, that's still stupid at all?
It's still stupid stuff. but I did, I made a few friends. There was one old wrestler that worked behind the scenes that I made pals with, and he had cauliflower ear like you.
Especially the old school guys. Yeah. They worked really hard.
But he was to make a nice old goat, and I would talk to him, and he goes, how did I put it? I go, yeah, you guys, this is all fixed, isn't it? He goes, fixed? He looked at me kind of pissed off.
Oh, shit.
He goes, son, we call it controlled.
That's awesome. I've never heard that before.
And if you want to think that there's a sport out there that's not controlled, you're a fool.
Oh, you know what? No, when you put it that way, though.
He went on to bring everybody into the picture.
When you put it that way, there is always a talk of like the NBA with the refs and the NFL and Roger Goodell and baseball. They're always complaining about what the league wants versus what the fans want. That is interesting. When the Cowboys, when they lost in the playoffs, Super Bowl ticket prices went down.
Yes.
So the NFL wanted the Cowboys in there. Would they do stuff to make sure that happens? Especially next year, knowing that now that they have those metrics.
It is a business.
Yes, 100%.
Yes, it is.
Just like any of them, right? It's a sport up until a point. It's a meritocracy until money comes into it.
Let's see. When I was... Goldberg was just coming.
Yes.
They just introduced Goldberg in my last season I shot with him.
And he was a big deal, too, when he first came out.
And they said he was going to be a big deal. And I went, yeah, whatever.
But
sure enough, I'm flipping through the channels the other night. And there's Goldberg. 15, 18 years later.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah.
He's still going, too.
Is he?
Yeah.
Really?
He's back.
Oh, that poor bastard.
They just said him versus Brock Lesnar.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Wow.
Brock Lesnar, who's flipped over to MMA, did the real fighting, and then has since gone back and forth between the MMA and the WWE. He's done it a few times, gone back and forth between the real and the fake.
Because I'm sure once he goes to MMA for a little while and whoops up on some people are like, oh yeah, he's a real fighter. Let's give him some money.
Yeah.
And then he goes back to the WCW until he reaches a pay level where he's not happy, and then he can go back to MMA, make money down, flip down, so on and so forth.
That makes sense.
I mean,
until they both are down, they're all the way at the bottom.
Eventually people will get sick of, Bloodsport. Or not. Yeah, probably not.
Or not, I don't know. I mean, it's Bloodsport's fun. All right, well, guys. See, I had no idea, Russ. I didn't know you were working with the wrestling guys. I knew it, Tom. You always got a story up your sleeve that's brand new. Every time. That's why we have you on. You wondered why?
Just when you think you know Tom.
Just because of stuff like that. Exactly, man. It's fantastic. All right. So Shooting Pick of the Week here, 2004. It's on Netflix, as you said. So if you have Netflix, check it out. If you don't have Netflix, find a way to watch it because it's worth it. Let's do the box office recap real quick. I want to start with... we're doing the top five, but I'm sure the movie you want to talk about first ain't in the top five, is it, Drew?
No, it is not.
Because we're talking about that Martin Scorsese movie. You know Martin Scorsese's got a new movie, Tom? Did you know?
Whoa, what's that?
Martin Scorsese has a new movie?
No.
He's got one out. It's no advertising for it whatsoever. Because it's like not commercial.
All right.
Not mainstream whatsoever.
You're going for the indie look.
Yes, exactly. But like epic.
The number 21 movie of the week.
The number 21 movie of the weekend. Number 21!
Silence made an additional $1.15 million for a total of $5.1 million. Although it did expand an extra 833 screens this week.
They expanded it this week because the Oscar nominations will be announced, I believe, this week coming up. So they threw it in a bunch of extra screens to try to get a little bit of Oscar buzz going right into the nominations. But it's looking like I mean, I mentioned to Tom, Martin Scorsese has a new movie. I didn't even say the name of the movie or anything, and it's like, what? This guy, this legend, has a movie out?
And nobody knows about it.
You know, Wolf of Wall Street had a huge marketing campaign.
Yeah.
Posters everywhere, Leonardo DiCaprio. His movies before that, Shutter Island, have had all these big campaigns. This movie, Tom, is called Silence, and it's about, it's based on a book. What was it? Are we talking 14th century, 15th century? Do you remember the time period? Yeah,
something like that.
Something like that. Feudal Japan, where Christianity has been outlawed by the emperor, and you have to denounce God and step on some sort of religious icon, or else you get tortured and killed in a very public way. And Liam Neeson plays a Portuguese priest, a Jesuit priest, who has gone to Japan to proselytize. That's always a tough word for me to say. And the movie starts with him and all his men. His men are being tortured, and he pretty much like apostatizes and gives up religion. Word gets back to Portugal to these young priests, played by up and comers Andrew Garfield and the once and past Spider-Man, and Adam Driver. He's on Girls, and now he's in Star Wars.
Yes, the once and current new bad guy.
New Star Wars bad guy. These guys, they play young priests who volunteered to go to Japan to try to find Liam Neeson's character to get him to come back, or to at least confirm whether or not he really has apostatized. Because it's like, well, someone said he did, but can we take this person's word? So it's a 2-hour and 45-minute movie about these Jesuit priests, Portuguese priests in Japan, hiding out from the guards, from the Imperial Guards, and looking for Liam Neeson, but also trying to help Japanese Christians who are trying to like worship, but do so like so that they don't get killed by the government.
Oh yeah, man, it's weird though, man.
Not a very commercial sounding movie, is it, Tom? That it took me that long to explain it.
Yeah.
Right? It's a hard sell, right, Drew?
It is. Well, I mean, it's an
why are you talking to your hand? You're talking to the microphone.
It's an interesting story.
Happy anniversary,
everyone. I mean, it's an interesting story. It's just, I understand why there's no commercials for it.
Right.
It's not really commercially viable, although...
It's not.
Although, you know, the Christian right being as happy-go-lucky as they are, this is a very faith-affirming film, even though it's a bunch of yellow people.
Scorsese, a hardcore Catholic. Hardcore Catholic. His movie is very much about faith and believing in something and holding on to that belief in the face of persecution. And it has the very end of it's kind of a profound, you know, sad, profound ending type of thing. Don't want to say exactly what it is, but... Drew said he saw it coming. I gotta say though, when I saw this movie, I saw a very late show. I was extremely tired, and it's a very long movie.
Yeah, it is.
So I liked it very much, but I was finding it hard at the end. I was like, oh boy, I need to. By the time the movie was over, it was like almost 2 a.m, and I was like, this is not good.
Well, I mean, this is,
and it's the end of a very, very long week.
This is like the
end of a long day, the end of a long week.
This movie was like the other side of the coin of The Wolf of Wall Street. You know, Wall Street was very fast paced.
Yep.
I mean, it was still long as hell.
Did you ever see that one, Tom, with the Leonardo DiCaprio?
Oh yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah, it's a crazy movie. Right?
Movie was long as hell, but it was going at such a breakneck pace the whole time that it kept you going. This movie is very slow.
Yes. Yeah. Wolf of Wall Street is like Goodfellas, to keep it Scorsese. This one, Silence, is like Kundun.
Yeah.
Or the slower parts of The Last Temptation of Christ. You know, he does this mode, and it's more of an Akira Kurosawa thing, obviously, because he's making a movie set in Japan. That's one of his influences, so he's going to go that way. The shots of, like, Drew, there's like rocky mountainside, and there's like a bunch of guards everywhere, so they're standing in different spots, and there's like the steam coming up from the hot springs, so there's like looks like smoke everywhere, and it's just a long wide master shot and people moving in it in the distance. That's 100% like Kurosawa's Dreams or Rashomon or Yojimbo or something like that. That's what Scorsese is. He's like Tarantino.
Mm-hmm.
He takes his favorite parts of the movies that he loves, and he's stealing from the best.
He creates.
Yeah, recreates it. We see him from the best. So I like the movie, but it's not like I can't tell people to run out and go see it. Everyone's going to love it. There are people that are going to watch it and be bored. Bored as fuck.
Is it 3 hours?
2 hours and 45 minutes. And it's a meditation.
It's a long one.
And it's a meditation on faith and religion and its place in the world.
It feels like it.
And it does feel like it. You'll feel it. So, you know, it's what it is, I got to say. I like it very much, but...
I mean, I enjoyed it for what it was.
Yeah, if you're a Scorsese fan, if you're a movie fan, you got to go see it. But
or even if
you don't
just
go see movies normally and you're looking for something like, what can I go see with my girlfriend this weekend or my boyfriend?
Even if you're just intrigued by, you know, faith or religion or...
The more into religion and faith you are, I think.
And not yeah. even, I mean, even just...
Into those kind of questions.
History as well. Because, I mean, you see both sides of the coin. You see, you know, the Japanese Buddhists mm-hmm. who are, you know, the Imperial Army who are like, listen, this is why we can't have Christians. And then Andrew Garfield's like, but they believe!
Yeah. They do have the scene where they make their case.
So...
They're not just like faceless evil. You
yeah,
know,
no, there's the there is a reason for it.
Yeah,
you know?
It's good. I mean, it's very well made. It's Scorsese. He knows what he's doing. It's a slow masterpiece is what it is. It's not as in your face as The Wolf of Wall Street, but I think it may be the type of movie where we'll see in a few years from now, maybe more people will be getting more from it and it'll go down. It'll be the type of thing that people teach in class.
I could definitely see this being shown in history classes.
Yeah, being like, just to give people a perspective of what's going on. Not to say it's 100% accurate.
Yeah.
Not like they have Portuguese accents or even talking in Portuguese. It's weird. No. It's weird. It's one of those things where like they got some English guys to play Portuguese, dude, and they're just affecting like old-timey accents.
Yes. You know?
Like we just
well,
we,
at least
we
they're all...
Kinda, we're looking for Father Ferrer.
You know? At least all the Christians all have an English accent.
Yeah.
So they all have the same accent.
They're
it's
consistent.
Not the right. It's not the right accent.
Not the right one, but...
But it's still.
It was funny. Syrian Hines is in it. Anyway, so Silence, there you go. Scorsese's newest one. Are we getting to the top five now?
Yes.
Let's do the top five.
Number five, La La Land. Made $8.3 million, total of $89.6.
We've talked about that before, so check out our past episodes of Hero Reviews of La La Land.
Number four. Sing made an additional $9 million for a total of, goddamn, $249.
That's what happens when you're the only family movie out there. People are going to go see it.
Dude, we need to get into this. We need to start making family films
so
that are computer animated.
So says the people that, such as, the people who made movies such as Planet 51
uh-huh.
and The Nut Job
uh-huh.
and Aragorn.
But we need to do it like...
Epic?
We need to be in that middle ground where it still makes a fuck ton of money even though it's not that good.
That is hard as fuck to do. That's hard as fuck.
But there are so many.
You need the marketing campaign. That was number four?
Yes.
What's number three?
Hidden Figures made an additional $16.2 million, total of $84.
This movie's making a shit ton of money, must mean it's pretty good. It's also, have you heard of this story, Tom? Hidden Figures is about the...
The black ladies that did the math before robots did.
Yeah, out for NASA.
No, it was weird, because last time I was watching the trailer for it, Kevin Costner's in this movie too,
mm-hmm.
he was talking to him, he's like, these are my computers. And I'm like, those are people, not machines. What the hell?
And he calls them computers.
Yeah, but back in the day, you know, all that math had to be done by an actual person.
They're the ones who did the computing.
Yeah.
And it's all about how these three black ladies had to fight just to get enough respect to be able to do some math. Oh, thank you, Tom, so much. To help put a man out in outer space.
Yeah.
I want to see it. I still got to see it, man. Maybe this week. Oh, God. Time. Donde están los tiempos? I have no time, Drew.
Number two this week, Chris.
Number
Speaking
two.
Speaking of no time, that means you definitely don't have time to watch this movie. XXX: The Return of Xander Cage.
Not with a Rotten Tomato score of what? We'll talk about that in a
weekend
second.
Weekend gross of $20 million, same as the total.
A $20 million opening weekend for a Vin Diesel starring movie, I gotta say, is probably like right in his wheelhouse.
That sounds right.
That's what he should expect for a dumb action movie.
It doesn't have to be an awesome movie. It's just, you know,
that
demographic.
Yeah, he has like The Last Witch Hunter and stuff like that. Even those, some of those make like closer to $15 million maybe. So.
Abe, come for a circle, Chris. Donnie Yen's in this movie.
Donnie Yen's in the XXX movies? I think I saw him in the trailer.
Yes.
Donnie Yen and our streaming pick of the week hero.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Vin Diesel. XXX. We didn't see it.
42% on the Tomatometer.
Okay, so the score went up a little bit, but what's the average rating?
4.8
out of 10. So we're looking at a middle of the road movie. Let me see what the consensus says. Something about crazy action. Nonsense plots. Vin Diesel, fun, but dumb overall.
XXX Return of Xander Cage should satisfy fans of the first two installments, but its preponderance of set pieces can't quite make up for a tired storyline that fails to take the franchise or action fans anywhere new.
Not really what I said, but those sort of along the same lines.
What do you mean anywhere new? That in the trailer I saw him skiing through a jungle? I saw him.
Yeah, the trailer.
I saw him on a dirt bike surfing.
Yeah,
surfing on a dirt bike.
Yeah,
that's new.
It's ridiculous.
I've never seen that before.
It's ridiculous what's going on.
I've never seen anybody ski in a jungle.
I guess maybe we should just watch the trailer and then forget about the actual movie.
Okay,
that's easier.
I can do that. Well, hey, guess what? That's already been done.
Okay, done.
Number one movie of the week. Split.
Here we go.
Made a weekend gross of $40.19 million, same as the total.
Talking about M. Night Shyamalan's Split. This is with James McAvoy, where he plays a fellow with 23 different personalities. Yeah, split personality 24. Disorder. 24, excuse 24. Me. Well, spoiler alert. 23 personalities that, and a couple of them have decided to kidnap some young women and for some sort of sacrifice that's going to happen type of deal. And I don't know how much more you can really say about getting into really spoilery stuff.
I mean, it talks a lot about mental illness.
A lot about mental illness, about how there's a doctor who's trying to convince people that this is not just split personalities, but like 23 individual identities within one person. So there's like a 9-year-old boy and a woman and like a very stern OCD dude and apparently... Some
weird lady that has diabetes.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know what I found interesting?
Man, that dude needs to smoke weed. His brain just too busy.
Right. Oh, dude, yeah.
Well, I mean, there's a reason for it, though. It kind of weaves into some sort of odd plot.
The plot is interesting. It's, you know, it's Shyamalan. It's, he does thrillers and sort of horror movies. Stuff like Sixth Sense, Unbreakable, Signs, The Village. He's kind of working in that mode, right?
Yes, definitely.
And, but except low budget, because the production company he's hooked up with now, the movies that they make are like $5 million budgets. Did you see what the budget was in there?
It's unlisted.
It's unlisted. It's probably like a $5 to $7 million budget on this movie. Maybe a little more.
Plus probably $250K for the cameo at the end.
Cameo and word up, word up. The word jumble time, guys. It's word jumble. I gotta get in touch with Simon. It's definitely like that. In that vein that he likes to do of old school Hitchcock, it's a theory, it's an idea. The whole movie is hinged on a premise, and then he plays it out through the end. You know, he's always been a fan of that kind of storytelling, and I think it works. I thought it was an entertaining movie. It's definitely atmospheric and weird and crazy.
Yeah, definitely.
100%. It gets kind of crazy at the end. What did you think, Drew?
I enjoyed it for what it was. It's definitely more thriller than horror.
Yes.
Obviously.
Yeah.
You know, it's a Shyamalan movie, so, you know, you get to see his stupid face for a little bit.
He does his one cameo, word up scene.
And he does tie this into another one of his movies. We are now in a Shyamalan shared universe.
Yeah, well, leave it at that. Everyone can figure out which of his past movies he has somehow found a way to tie this one into it. Very, 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 very gonna the bonus scenes at the end after credits. I'm like, if you want us to see DC plan before the closing credits, important. Obviously, it wasn't important.
Obviously.
I liked it. I thought it was good. Do you like what is this most like? Sixth Sense? Yes. Let's go through real quick. Sixth Sense? Yes or no? You like them? See it? Do you remember?
Nope, didn't see it.
Signs? Mel Gibson? The Aliens movie?
Vaguely, don't know anything about it.
Unbreakable.
Your audience is going, why do you bring this guy?
Unbreakable. The Bruce Willis versus Samuel L. Jackson. He may be a superhero. No.
Nope.
The Village. Joaquin Phoenix are living in the middle of the woods.
And it might be the past.
Might be the past. No. Well, then after that, it's like, oof.
Oh, yeah, that gets
really those fired. Those are his most popular ones.
Yeah. They get like Lady in the Water, where is it like some weird fairy scene nymph thing?
You don't even want to.
Can we talk about a movie I have seen?
Gone with the Wind.
Deadpool.
Deadpool
was awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Deadpool's a fun movie. Actually, as a matter of fact,
Deadpool 2 is coming out soon.
Deadpool 2 is coming out soon. They're working on it, and I have a bit of news in the second half of the show that ties sort of into Deadpool. So we'll definitely be able to talk about that. That's awesome. But Split, I say Split's pretty good. People can check it out if you're into thrillers, right, Drew?
Yes.
Okay, there we
go. And, you know, McAvoy killed it with his
McAvoy's good.
Multiple personalities.
He's fun. He's like, I'm going to present me a kid, but now I'm a lady, but now I'm a dude, and I'm a crazy guy. But yeah, it was good. It was all well done. And the girl from The Witch.
Yeah, she's awesome.
It was all good stuff. It was a good movie. I enjoyed it. I think Shyamalan's kind of got it going on. New movies coming out on DVD. Real quick, Inferno with Tom Hanks. The third of the Dan Brown series. The Da Vinci Code. What was the second one? Angels and Demons. And now Inferno. All three are Ron Howard movies. Are you ever going to see... Didn't you see the other ones, Drew?
I haven't seen any of them.
Oh, you haven't seen any of them? For some reason, I thought you saw them.
No.
Why did I think you had seen these movies?
I don't know.
Then what are you on the show for? I thought you were the part of the show that's seen it. I haven't seen those movies.
Yeah, we got room for one dummy.
Damn it.
We're supposed to balance this stuff
all right,
out.
So we got too many dummies. I got to go.
Too many dummies.
Too Many Dummies is the name of my 90s R&B group.
Yes, agreed.
It's the number two Many Dummies. The Light Between Oceans.
No, it's Two Men E Dummies.
That is better. Yes. See, that's why. Yeah. Let's see, I'm the dummy here. The Light Between Oceans, a Michael Fassbender movie with, what's her name? Alicia Vikander.
Oh, yeah.
So that comes out.
That one that I didn't see.
I recommend people check out this one if you can find it on DVD. It's a South Korean film called The Handmaiden from the guy who did Old Boy. Worth watching. I ain't even going to say what it's about. Just watch it. Just trust me, people. The Handmaiden.
Yeah, I'm from the guy who made Old Boy, so it's not like it can damage you.
Yeah, make sure you sit down with the kids and with the grandma to watch this movie. They will all appreciate it. It'll bring you all together as a family. Trust me. Drew, what's coming on theaters?
In theaters this weekend, Jesus Christ. Resident Evil: The Final Chapter.
Oh God!
Is it really going to be the final chapter?
No, it's not going to be because they're going to reboot it.
So we're going to have what, Resurgence, Tom, or Rebirth, or Renaissance.
Was this the fifth one?
Armageddon.
Actually, I bet you half of those have already been movies. Damn. Tom, have you seen any of the Resident Evil movies?
Negative.
You know what? I've only seen the first one myself, so don't even worry about it.
I'm pretty positive type of guy.
As you should be. You don't need then you don't need those in your life.
Yeah, no.
At all. Here we go.
Also coming out this weekend, A Dog's Purpose.
This is interesting. I want to see how much money this movie makes because in the last week or so, it's come out online, a video, a production video of they were throwing a German Shepherd into some like a set of like raging water and the dog's like clawing its way trying to get out and people are calling for animal abuse or saying this is bullshit and this movie should be boycotted. Fuck this movie. And all these people are like, I was excited to see this movie, but now I'm not because of this video. So I'm interested to see how much this movie makes or doesn't make, you know, A Dog's Purpose. Have you seen anything about that online?
I saw that they were really freaking out about the distressed German Shepherd.
Yes, exactly. The distressed German Shepherd and mistreating them. So you can't get away with that shit anymore, man. You gotta... What was I watching? What was the movie that the Outlaw Josie Wales was on?
Oh, them horses, man.
Yes, yeah. There's a scene where...
There was no PETA back then.
No, horses were doing literal barrel rolls down hillsides and like falling on their necks and stuff. I was like, ow.
Oh, it was CGI.
No.
Those were real horses.
You can say that now. You can get away with, it was CGI. Yeah, but no, this was 1975.
No, those horses probably died.
Like, how did you make that horse flip like a 900-degree barrel roll down? Oh, my
God. We flipped it.
And acrobatic horses.
And yeah. Then we sent them to the glue factory.
It's like a Werner Herzog's Fitzcarraldo when he dragged the boat over a mountain and two extras died. He's like, I need two more extras over here.
Yep.
These two are dead. I need two more. What else is coming out of theaters?
Gold.
Gold, the Matthew McConaughey movie where he's looking for gold in the South American mountains with Edgar Ramirez.
Yep.
It looks like a modern-day treasure of the Sierra Madre.
Except Matthew McConaughey doesn't have any hair in this movie.
Well, neither did Humphrey Bogart. He wore a wig for many of his final years because of alcoholism.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Guys! My favorite part of the show.
You must be Doc Holliday.
Well, that's the rumor.
Dr. Strangelove, do we have anything like that in the works?
They call me Dr. Manhattan.
And Bridget Fonda.
Do doctors know more about sex?
Doc Hollywood.
That's right. Sorry for Dr. Drew's 2 cents. Dr. Drew, take it away, sir, if you don't mind.
Happy birthday, Chris. We're 4 years old.
We're 4 years old.
We made it 4 years.
We did it. Look at us.
We did it. We made it to the ripe old age of 4. And if we make it to the age of 8, we better get fucking paid.
We better.
Doctor out.
Here. Get us paid. Someone, please. I mean, right now we're still pretty cool. We're completely non-monetized. We still have that cool factor, that punk rock. We do it for the love of it type of thing. But
is that punk rock?
But
since when is being broke punk rock?
Always
broke punk rock.
Always, it's always. Damn it! That's the essence of punk rock.
Being broke,
being broke as fuck, and being like, damn the man, save the empire. So here we go. Let's take a quick break. Crespo Disco time. I forgot to write it down. Ran out of time, but fuck it. Fourth anniversary show. We do what we want to do. I did this recently. I'm doing it again. The opening song from the Michael Mann movie Thief, Tangerine Dream, did a lot of soundtracks back in the 80s. Did a few Michael Mann movies.
And their song, the opening song from the opening credits, is like 10 minutes long. It's amazing. So if you're working out right now, if you're traveling, you know, at any sort of high rate of speed, look, you can look out a window or something. This music is perfect for like that type of thing. If you're traveling at night, lots of lights flying by. You know what I'm talking about, Drew? Mm-hmm. That type of thing. So here we go. Some Tangerine Dream from 1981, I think. Good Lord. It's been a while. It's been a while. You ready, Drew?
I am.
Tom, you ready?
I'm ready.
I'm ready, like two or three beers down. This isn't going to get sloppy, but fun. Looking forward to it.
Happy anniversary, baby.
Oh, what a sweetheart. I love this guy. All right, we'll be right back. Oh, well, I got to hit this button. Stop.
Hello, Cinema Crespediso listeners. This is Chris from BYOCB, the podcast where we drink, we laugh, we drink, inviting you to join myself and my co-host Alex as we take you out of a studio environment and into different environments that revolve around enjoying a few adult beverages with your friends. Check out our stuff at BYOCBshow.com or give us a follow on Twitter at BYOCBshow.
Yo, yo, what's good, world? This is your boy, Steezy, coming to you straight out of the Trap House. We are pumping out two brand new shows a week for you, featuring the illest open discussion in O-Town. We love highlighting local Orlando talent, including comedians, musicians, artists, and anyone with beer money. You know what I'm saying? So if you want to finally know what the heat of the week is and not feel like a downright herb, download Steezy's Trap House on iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher today. Get booked!
I told Drew and Chris that I'd write them a song. I broke out my guitar, it didn't take long. They talked directors and actors and factory in a funky blend of film nerd stuff and box office weekends. Oh, oh,
cinema.
Chris Pediso, Chris and Drew.
Cinema.
Chris Pediso, me and you.
Settle back
and enjoy the news and views.
To the movies we go with Chris Crespo and Drew.
Welcome to the Crespo Show.
Episode 211 is back. We're drinking delicious Orange Blossom Pilsner, the flagship beer of OBB, Orange Blossom Brewing. How's the OBB beer business going, Tom?
What a world, man. I got so many balls in there right now.
Oh, really?
I got some cool stuff going on.
You got some plates in the air spinning?
Oh, I'm trying to keep them from crashing to the ground.
What can you tease for us? What can you let us know what's coming down the pipe?
Let me see. I got a couple of big things going on. Universal Studios approached me about making a tropical lager for them.
Yeah?
Ooh.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's for their new theme park, Volcano Bay.
Yes, their water park.
Right, and they want to have their own beer for, you know, beer for that.
That's so awesome.
And I really tried to get them to take OBP as it was. They loved OBP.
Yeah.
And, you know, just brand it. They could put whatever tap handle on it they wanted.
True.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's just a nice tropical lager in its own right.
Yeah, it's good for summers.
And that would have been perfect. And I really wish they'd have taken that, but I made something that they liked better.
Ooh.
I dosed some OBP with papaya and starfruit.
No, you did not.
Nice.
No, you didn't. What?
Blew their socks off.
Oh, nice. Man, it sounds good.
I'm doing a sampling next week with 250 of their executives.
Whoa.
And they want to try my beer, so I've got to make up a keg of it and take it out. And
that is awesome.
Play the game a little bit. Heck yeah. Beer.
That is so awesome. That is so cool. You know, they do contract out for the Simpsons land. They contract out, I guess, to
Duff
someone
beer.
Local for Duff Beer. Do you know who does Duff Beer?
The Florida Beer does it over in Cocoa. They're in Cocoa.
Oh, yes.
And
yes.
Florida Beer just got bought by Carib, and there's a lot of transition going on.
Oh,
over
really? Wow.
Brewery.
Okay.
And also, Florida Beer makes their butter beer as well for the Harry Potter thing.
Okay.
Oh, do they really?
So they have that contract on the Duff Beer and the butter beer.
Yeah, good for them, buddy. You're getting on that Volcano Bay action.
I want the tropical lager.
That sounds awesome. And then, so that might be a Universal exclusive type thing. If you want that, you got to go to Volcano Bay.
Yeah, they'd tell me I couldn't sell
like
anywhere
that.
Else.
Or you got to know Tom the beer guy. get an invite to his house maybe for the keg in the basement. That is awesome. What else you got going on? Can you tell us about anything else?
Working with some expansion into did you know that half the beer in our country is consumed in Texas and California?
No idea.
Really?
had no idea whatsoever. That's crazy.
And one by virtue of, you know, the huge populations in each of those states.
True.
You know, that's a big start.
That's true.
Well, you figure what the population of those two states in
New York and Florida,
but it's not
also
50%.
Yeah, New York and Florida still have the huge populations. They won't factor into that.
But it's hot, and you know they're beer drinking people. But Texas and California account for about half of the beer sold in the country.
Okay.
And I'm talking with somebody that would like to take my beer there and thinks they can do really well with
it. Yes, it can. Of course, it can.
Good idea. Great idea.
So,
Do you know exactly where? Do you have markets in mind? Are we talking Austin, Houston, Dallas?
No, actually, the outfit I'm talking to, they have an infrastructure in place that already sells a really nice slice of beer in those states.
Yeah.
So I would just roll into their under their present umbrella.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of things that are going on is SKU management right now. There's just so many beers out there that it's a little tough to...
How do you keep track of everything? Right. Yeah, 100%.
It's getting a little tough. And to enter a new market, it would be really, really scary right now. I don't think I would do it just by virtue of that.
Mm-hmm.
But these guys are so sharp. They don't have a whole lot of beers that they represent already. So they've got this great infrastructure and they only represent four or five beers. You know, they could bring in my three or four that I make.
Yeah.
And it'd be like nothing for them.
It's not going to get lost in the shuffle. Right. And man, that is awesome.
It'd be just a clear victory for them and for me as well.
And also a victory for our LA listeners, our California listeners.
Yeah. who can finally get themselves a movie Pete.
Hearing about this delicious beer for years, and finally maybe we'll get their hands on some.
Nice. Yeah, I want to turn everybody onto my good honey beer. Now,
for
your new listeners out there, I want to tell a little bit about myself. When I was 18, I wasn't old enough to buy beer, but I was old enough to buy the ingredients to make beer. So what started out as a way to subvert the system really evolved into a lifelong passion. By the time I was 30, I'd converted my two-car garage into a home brewery.
Yeah.
And I only wanted to make the best beer in the world.
Of course.
I went through every beer style. There's like 75 recognized beer styles. I went through each one and did not move on to the next style, brewing each one, until I felt like I'd mastered or near mastered the one I was working on.
Right.
And so I went through all the beer styles. It's kind of like when you learn how to play guitar, you learn how to play other people's music. You'd never pick up a guitar and learn how to play guitar by playing your own music.
That's true.
That makes no sense at all.
That's very true.
So as a brewer, you pick, you know, you pick up the malt paddle and you make, you know, classic styles of beer.
Yeah.
And you refine your skills playing other people's music.
Yes.
And then after a while, you've refined your skills, then you can start playing your own
music. Start figuring out your own song.
Right. And that's when I really, really started having fun as a brewer and started, I'd pile through ethnic markets and produce stands just looking for crazy shit to make beer out of.
Mm-hmm.
I made shiitake brown ale. I've made beers that I probably shouldn't say on the air.
Did you ever make Skittle Brown? You know, throw that. Might as well at some point.
Right? And when I started playing around, and this is like in the early 90s at this point, people just did not get craft beer. But for some reason at that point in my life, I knew that there was more to beer than what was on the grocery store shelves.
Yes.
And I really pursued and chased it and tried to make it in my garage, as a matter of fact. So my friends didn't get it. They thought I was crazy. Then my Russian Imperial Stout, my Belgian Triple. What the hell's wrong with this guy?
These aren't beers. This doesn't taste like the Bud Light that I drink at home.
So then I started playing around with honey and making honey beers, and all my skeptical friends suddenly wouldn't leave.
Interesting.
You know, and that made me realize, you know, and I'd been flying to the West Coast a lot to learn what the craft segment was about. Those guys really had it going on. Mm-hmm. I felt like I was flying into the beer future. And I'd come back here and try and tell people about it, and they just look at me like,
"Huh? Well, Miller? Is the Miller line you're talking about?"
And so, when I saw how much, what a positive reception my honey beer had, I says, "Well, maybe this is going to help Floridians, you know, help people in my state to kind of start embracing craft beer and wean themselves off the macro beer,
yes,
and
off the Super Bowl beers."
And that's exactly why I brought out OBP, was a training wheel beer into the craft segment.
And now you got the toasted coconut porter. We're big fans of that.
Mm-hmm.
We got the Vice Baby,
which is delicious.
That delicious Vice beer. We got the OBP Squared, which will, if you're not careful, will make you lose your soul. You got to drink those things carefully. Double strength.
11%.
And I know we're missing one. What are we missing, Drew?
Back in the day, IPA.
Back in the day, IPA is so awesome. That like 70s American style IPA, if I'm not mistaken. Is that correct?
Actually, 90s.
90s, I knew it was an older style.
Yeah, it was in the late 80s, early 90s when I now remember.
A lot of hops aren't used anymore, right?
Well, these are the old roots, the old school hops. There are so many new hybrids and such that, you know, and a lot of brewers are really working hard to differentiate their IPA from the next guy's IPA. Mm-hmm. So many IPAs on the market. Right now, that's driving the craft segment. But this is an IPA recipe that I refined late 80s, early 90s, and I probably spent 6 months making probably at least a batch a week of an IPA till I finally dialed it in. What I thought was the exceptional recipe for an IPA.
And is it good?
And when I brought it to market, you know, I dug out my old recipe books and started making it in the big brewery. Mm-hmm. It only made sense to call it back in the day IPA.
Well, yeah, it's a great name. All the can designs are fantastic. I love the can designs. Drew, not a big fan of IPAs, but you give him a six pack of that, and it's gone.
Nice.
It is gone, that's for sure. Man, it's so exciting, Tom. That's great. I'm glad to hear that you got so much going on. We're talking state expansions, getting into the theme park business. That's huge.
We're holding it down, buddy. And luckily, I've been out long enough to where I got some roots in this town. I would never want to be a startup craft brewery right now, and you know, because there's just, it's hard to find space on the shelf
at this point now. Yeah, it is hard to get in there. Fortunately, you've been around for a minute now. You've been around the block. You got the experience.
I earned shelf space a decade ago. Hell so yeah. All you young bucks, you want my slot, you better make some damn good beer.
Ooh,
down the gauntlet.
I like it. He's like saying, "Bring it." Awesome, fantastic. As we drink this delicious beer, cheers, cheers, Tom, to you. Cheers, Drew.
Cheers.
As we all drink together, and as we all drink at home. Mm-hmm. We love having you here, Tom. Thank you so much for the update. I can't wait to try that Volcano Bay beer. That's going to be great. Drew, where can people find you online?
At Antihero 419, all over the internet.
And you can hit up the show at Twitter, at Crespediso, Cinema Crespediso on Facebook and Instagram. Also, if you want to email the show, cinemacrespediso@gmail.com, we'll send you free stickers. Tom, we're going to give you some stickers. We got these sticker business cards here. Let me grab one. I think you just knocked a whole bunch of them forward, but that's cool. We have so many, it doesn't even matter. There's a sticker, but it's also a business card. If you peel off the sticker part, it still has info on the back.
That is pretty cool. Economical.
Pretty cool, right? You use a sticker, but you keep the cardboard, man, and then hand that out. But don't try writing on the back because it's that weird sticky back. But, oh shit.
Uh-oh.
Drew Sakag, we're in first row. Ready for this? Here we go. Hold on 1 second here, and time for some Drew Sakagburn versus the world. Drew, so far, you are 2-0, undefeated.
Doing pretty good this year.
In the year 2017. This week's game is called Spoiler Alert. I'm going to describe the end of a movie. You tell me the name of the movie.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to describe the end of the movie. You can tell me the end of the movie. Got two groups of five, A and B. Drew, you got to go first because you won last week. Do you want group A or group B? Choose wisely.
Group A.
Oh, my God. You see what kind of choices you make? These are your choices. Drew, I tell you the end of the movie. You tell me the name of it. Number one, the sheriff kills the shark.
Jaws.
Correct. Number two, Bruce Willis was dead the whole time.
Sixth Sense.
That is correct. Number three, the Ark of the Covenant melts the Nazis.
I know that one.
Indiana Jones. And the Last Crusade.
No.
It is not.
Raiders of the Lost Ark. Number four, a robot brings the human race back to Earth.
Back to Earth. Wally?
That is correct. Number five. The cyborg law enforcement officer stops the bad guys while reclaiming his humanity.
RoboCop.
RoboCop is correct. You got 4 out of 5. Good job, Drew. Tom, he threw down the gauntlet. Are you ready? You understand the game?
I hope so.
All right, number one, name the movie. This is the end of the movie. The hotel caretaker tries to kill his family and then freezes to death in a hedge maze.
The Shining.
That's correct. Number two, a woman destroys the robot sent back in time to kill her.
Terminator.
That is correct. Number three, an alien hunter battles a small team of soldiers in the Guatemalan jungle.
Alien.
Ooh, Predator.
Predator.
Oh, so close. Number four. Ooh, this one's kind of tough. There we go. Number four.
Hey, come on. I'm elementary school over here.
A substitute teacher enters his music class into a battle of the bands.
Oh, I know who that. Chris Black? No, isn't it Chris Black that does that? What's the name of that? High School Rock and Roll? Fuck, I don't know.
Oh, you're on it. Give
I'm
me a
so
title.
On it.
You're so on it. Give me some words.
Rock and Roll High School.
That's a Ramones movie. Rock and Roll High School. Rock and Roll High School Forever.
Rock teacher. I don't know.
It should be called Rock Teacher.
I can't do any more. School of Rock.
School of Rock.
School of Rock.
With Jack Black, Jack not Black. Chris Black. Not Chris Black. Oh man, you're right on it, Tom.
You're dancing all around it.
Yep. Right. You knew it though. We know you knew it. Then finally, number five, a Michigan police detective tracks down a murderer in Southern California. A Michigan police detective tracks down a murderer in Southern California.
Do I have a lifeline?
No. Yes, you do. Would you like to use your lifeline?
Yes.
Drew's your lifeline.
Drew.
Beverly Hills Cop.
Beverly Hills Cop is correct.
Ah, that's right. That's right. Detroit. Eddie Murphy.
Yes.
I forgot. How did I forget that?
Drew's a cop. When you win, congratulations. Sweet. I put you at 3-0 so far for the year.
I usually start off good. We'll see what happens, you know, like next week.
We'll see what happens next week. We will see what happens next week. That's for sure. Okay, let's get into some. What are we going to talk about? You know what? I'll just go ahead and put this away for now. Because it's going to be time for some movie news.
Check out Justin Timberlake and news. Jessica Biel showing off their hot beach bods during
and
their
romantic
Caribbean getaway.
Opens up about navigating the holidays with ex-wife Reese Witherspoon.
Leia is spilling the beans about a secret Star Wars affair. Apparently Han wasn't so solo after all.
He has been melting down. He's been berating fans, walking off stage. So what's going on with the beans?
That's right, it's time for the movie news segment. We talk about hot beach bobs, celebrity divorces, and of course, what's going on with the Biebs. Tom, the beer guy, please, we need this week's Biebs update. What is going on with the Biebs?
What's up with the Biebs?
What's up with the Biebs? Justin Bieber, what's going on with Justin Bieber, Tom?
Well, I know this girl, Biebs and the Moneymakers, and she just dropped a new song featuring Belay. That was pretty badass.
That's
tune.
Actually true. That's yeah. right. A different Biebs.
That's
update.
What's up with the Biebs.
Yeah, hey. That's what's up with the Biebs. Shout out to Biebs and her Moneymakers. Yeah. Tom with the Biebs update. Yeah. And you didn't think Tom was gonna have one, did you, Drew?
I didn't.
But he had one, and it surprised us both. Movie news time. I said I was going to mention Deadpool. This is how I'm going to mention Deadpool. The guy who directed that movie, Tim Miller, that was his first movie as a director. He's already working on something else that's based on a video game, but it's looking like he might have his third movie lined up. He's going to be making the next Terminator movie. The Terminator. Yes, no one seems excited.
Well, you know, I'm contemplating. It's an old franchise.
I'll be more excited when
with a new director.
Yeah.
I'll be more excited when those Terminator rights go back to the motherfucker who owns them.
Ah, Drew, funny you say that. I'm going to go ahead and read this article right here. According to the Hollywood Deadline, James Cameron will regain certain rights to the Terminator franchise in 2019. So he's prepping to godfather this new iteration of the movie that is described as both a reboot and a conclusion. They're rebooting it. And ending it, Drew. Yes, that look of confusion is exactly the appropriate look when you hear a sentence like that. Not only is it, are they rebooting the Terminator, but they're also concluding the series.
Open the door. Close the door.
Yes, at the same time. We're going to open and close the door at the exact same time.
So is Hollywood just like jumping on this just like idiotic Trump bandwagon where they're just like making zero sense with everything they're saying?
They're going to throw a word salad out there and hope you don't pay attention to the Orwellian nonsense.
It's going to be a new beginning / end of the entire franchise.
But James...
What?
James Cameron will be involved with it. He won't be directing it, but he'll be producing. So the originator, the creator of the Terminator series, at least is back on board.
Wow, I did not realize that. That's the fellow that did Avatar, isn't it?
Yes, 100% correct. As well as The Abyss, Titanic, True Lies, and I feel like I'm missing something.
Hang on.
Aliens.
Yep. Yep, you were missing Aliens.
Is there another Avatar? You'd think there'd be an Avatar.
There's another three.
That's what he's working on exclusively. Since Avatar came out, he's been working on just more Avatar movies.
But the thing is,
and he's filming them all back to back to back to back.
Because he's James Cameron, and his ideas are so grand, first he has to come up with the technology to do what he wants to do before he can do it.
And that's the truth. Drew's not even exaggerating.
I'm not joking about
that. He has to invent new technology. You know what that's
called? That's called thinking outside the box.
Oh, yeah.
That's what he does. Well, he's the guy who made the sub that goes down, or at least had the sub commissioned to go down to the bottom of the Marianas Trench.
That was James Cameron.
And he's like, we're going to see what's down there. And then he gets down there. It's like, oh, bunch of nothing.
Yep. He took all of his Titanic money and built a sub with it and to realize that there was nothing down there.
Not to realize there was
nothing. Oh, there's something down there.
Oh, it's conspiracy theory. Moving on. Remake news. Got another remake coming up. This one will be starring Anne Hathaway and Rebel Wilson. They are working on a remake of Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
Interesting.
Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. Anne Hathaway and Rebel Wilson as a con artist.
So, obviously, Anne Hathaway is going to be playing the Michael Caine role.
The Michael Caine role, yes. Obviously. Michael Caine.
Rebel Wilson will be doing the...
Who is in True Chicago Runs Deadpool this year, speaking of Deadpool. Oh, you said you saw your Arnold? What did you think of Deadpool? You mentioned you saw your Deadpool?
Yeah, I saw Deadpool. Did you like it? Show. Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Are you into superhero movies, though? You don't
strike
me as a superhero type of guy.
Yeah, I do. I like Spider-Man, the Spider-Man. And Spider-Man. Okay. I like James Bond more than... You know, superhero.
Oh, real life superhero. And then real life fake superhero.
I didn't know that, but James Cameron wrote Rambo First Blood Part 2.
Yeah. Yeah, he totally wrote it.
You serious?
He co-wrote it. And then Sylvester Stallone rewrote something.
And Deadpool is certainly not your classic superhero.
No, it's very, it flips the conventions and stuff, and it plays with it.
He's a hero.
He's an anti-hero.
Deadpool's not a hero. He's not even an anti-hero. He's a bad guy.
But he does good things, though.
But he's funny.
He's funny, but
he's just a funny bad guy.
But he also does good stuff, though. He's a Suicide Squad-ish good guy.
Is he being a bad guy? Then yes. You're right. He's a Suicide Squad good guy. He's a bad guy.
So they're remaking Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
I saw a little blurb of that this morning. That was a great movie.
It was?
Dirty Rotten Scoundrels? Yeah, it is actually. Oh, that movie.
What is it?
The younger listeners of the show should definitely seek that out if they haven't seen
What's his name? What is it? It's so-and-so the monkey boy. Who is he? He plays... Oh, man. I can't remember.
The monkey boy? Are you sure you're not thinking of the jerk?
Positive.
The monkey boy.
Yes.
There was the part where he was in the wheelchair.
No, the part where he plays the savage.
Rupert.
Yes, Rupert. That's it. The savage. He plays the monkey boy. Rupert the monkey boy.
Was he Rupert the monkey boy?
Yeah. Because he walked around. He acted like a chimpanzee. He wanted to throw his shit. Tried to rape that girl.
I don't remember that part at all.
Yeah. Dude, the movie was on TV like 3 days ago.
Okay, so you say you like Spider-Man. They're making a new Spider-Man movie, Tom. With a young kid, this guy Tom Holland, who actually looks like a kid. He's a kid. He's like, what, 18, 19?
Something like that.
He's a baby boy, fresh face. You want to smack him around. He's so young.
Well, Toby was when he started, wasn't he?
No, he was like mid-20s.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. So by the time he did the third one, he was like 30-something. So this one actually looks like, in the movie, he's going to play a sophomore in high school.
God, this kid was born in 96.
96, Tom, he's a baby boy. He's fresh. 20. Fresh out of the wrapper, this kid.
This shirt was born in 96.
Mm-hmm. So was Spider-Man. Spider-Man was born in 96.
Well, the new Spider-Man, Tom Holland, he is working on this movie, right? And the bad guy, Vulture, is played by Michael Keaton. And he has an interesting little anecdote here about working with Michael Keaton, in which he says, quote, working with him, he says, quote, pretty cool, he's a badass. We have a fight in the movie, and I punch him. He turns around and says, in a deep voice, I'm Batman. He kept doing Batman quotes on set, close quote.
Of course he did. Why? Because he is fucking Batman.
Michael Keaton, the original, not the original, Adam West, the original Batman.
Yeah.
The original, well, they even had a movie in the 60s. So the 89 to 92 Batman, Michael Keaton, apparently having a sense of humor about it, being self-aware.
Telling
Tom Holland, I'm Batman.
Of course he did Birdman. We know that man is self-aware.
I'm also Birdman. And now I'm Vulture Man.
And he is Birdman, too. Which is the weird, that movie was so strange.
Apparently, Tom, what they're doing with the newest Spider-Man movie called Spider-Man Homecoming, they're going with a 80s John Hughes approach to it. So what if John Hughes in the 80s, maker of 16 Candles, Breakfast Club, etc., etc., what if he was going to make a Spider-Man movie? That's the approach that they're going for.
That makes it just a little frou-frou, I guess. They're looking for that.
They are going for the younger audience, for sure.
Are you familiar with Spider-Man lore at all?
No.
Mr. Tom? Okay, well, I mean, Aunt May, always classically...
I can tell by the way you asked me that question. The appropriate response is no.
Well, it's fine. Because, I mean, in classically in the Spider-Man, in the Spider-Man canon, Aunt May has always been this really old lady. Now they have, what's her face?
Marissa Tomei.
Yeah, Marissa Tomei is Aunt May.
Marissa Tomei is Aunt May.
Now we have hot Aunt May, and Iron Man's trying to get with her the whole time. It's actually quite funny.
Yeah, it is pretty funny, actually. Iron Man's going to be in the Spider-Man movie. It's going to be good stuff. It should be. We'll see. It comes out July of this year. So we'll find out in only a few months' time.
Okay.
That's how that works. Time marches on. So how's your movie news update? Let's get into, you know what? We have our homie up in New York City, Billy D, New York City senior correspondent, horror film aficionado. He's been with us since day one remotely, but he's still been with us since the beginning. We appreciate it. And he has his own segment. It's called Billy D's Death in the Movies. And here's the intro for that.
Whoa, this is heavy. There's that word again, heavy. Why are things so heavy in the future? Is there a problem with the Earth's gravitational pull?
What?
All right, here we go. Drusa Cogburn, take it away.
What is up, my dudes?
What's up, Billy?
Things have been crazy since the holidays up here. The good news is that my long nightmare is finally over and my computer issues have been resolved.
What? Oh, that was the wrong button. I'm sorry.
I couldn't be happier. The games have never looked better, and I can finally play back and edit in 4K. Delicious. Nice. R.I.P. Bill McNeil. I attended the Women's March in NYC yesterday for a couple hours. So many people clogged the streets in front of Grand Central, I turned around, took the train down to 23rd, and walked up the other direction, which was easier than getting out of Grand Central. I have some video and tons of photos to come.
Yeah, actually, if you go to Instagram and follow him on any social media, at I Love Blood, you'll see a lot of up-close and personal pictures from the Women's March protest up in New York City from Inauguration Day. Worth checking out.
I just need to catch the big fat orange baby Trump cosplayer. No shit. It's a dude who wears a diaper and paints himself orange and crawls across Union Square.
Oh my god.
I need to capture that to make my candidate trilogy complete. Oh my god. Have you seen Candidate Parts 1 and 2?
Yes, I've seen them. Again, if you look for I Love Blood on the social medias, he has these videos about the Trump cosplayers going around New York City, and it's fantastic stuff.
I've seen some shit recently. Some entertaining garbage, some hardcore nonsense, and a fun but dumb Aussie movie that made for a decent palate cleanser. I saw Fear Incorporated on demand. I like the main actor, Lucas Neff, from Random Things, and he plays a great doofus. But wow, this was not very good, and it was actually sort of fine until the end. Then it just totally unraveled. I found it entertaining enough. The idea that these characters know they are in a horror film because they hired a company to give them a quote-unquote horror film experience, it was just too self-aware, and it ended so badly it left a sour taste in my mouth. I saw We Are the Flesh at Cinema Village in the Village. It was a nightmarish experience I'm never doing again. Hardcore in every way, from the true extremophiles. Everyone else should probably avoid it. This movie was made by Emiliano Minter, and wow, dude. Watching this made me think that a Gaspar Noé / Ben Wheatley / Refn marathon would be a good idea. I'd be less scared afterward.
Oh my god.
After that, I caught a little flick called Scare Campaign on Amazon.
I saw a lot of movies.
I needed something stupid to push out all that flesh. This Aussie flick was sort of what I needed. It's about a horror prank channel on YouTube, and one of their marks is driven crazy by the scare and murders. But, okay, one of the marks is driven crazy by the scare and murders a cast member. It's pretty stupid, but one thing I actually creeped out was by how nihilistic and indifferent towards human life it was. So yeah, this was a week where I thought, I'm taking bullets for people here. I'm a goddamn hero. Stay cool.
That was called Scare Campaign?
Scare Campaign.
What was the name of the first one?
I saw Fear. Oh, Fear Incorporated.
Fear Incorporated, man. All right, Billy D with the movie review, triple review
this
week.
And don't forget, We Are the Flesh, Chris.
And We Are the Flesh, yeah. Fear Inc., We Are the Flesh, Scare Campaign. Thank you, Billy D. We appreciate it. Follow him on social media, I Love Blood. Let's talk about the segment of the people, the voice of the people, the Vox Populi.
That moment you've all been waiting for.
The world famous
Vox Populi.
Vox Populi.
Vox Populi.
All right, here we go. You can hit us up on email, cinemacrespediso@gmail.com, Facebook, cinemacrespediso, Twitter, @crespediso, or you can, we've been doing this now, Tom, if you write a review for us on iTunes and you make it 5 stars, you can write whatever you want in the review and we'll read it on the show. It doesn't even have to be about the show. You can write a joke, you can write a story, you can try to sell something, try to use this as Craigslist, do whatever you need to do. You can use that platform. All you gotta do is rate us 5 stars and we'll read it.
Wow.
And we got one of those this week. We got one a week ago. We got one when Brett Rice was here. Uh-huh. And now we got one this week. Drew, why don't you go ahead and read that one?
All right, this is from Jugsy Malone.
This is gonna be good.
This should be good.
That it is entitled Worst Show Ever.
Title of the review.
Five stars.
Worst
show ever.
Damn straight.
A kid asks a girl to prom. She says yes. So he waits in a long line to get the tickets, but finally gets them. Next, he goes to reserve the limo. Once again, the line is long, but he gets it done. Then he goes to rent a tux. The store is very busy, but eventually he gets through the huge line and leaves. Upon arriving at the dance, his date asks if he would get her some punch. He walks right up to the table because there is no punch line. Is this funny enough?
Was that an anti-joke? Was that a joke?
You got your 5 stars, brother.
Yeah!
there's no punchline, Chris. Get it? There's no punchline.
Got my 5 stars! All right. Well, we appreciate it. We appreciate the 5-star review. Jugsy Malone.
Thank you.
What's the what else we got in the Vox Populi, the segment of the people, the voice of the people?
We got a Facebook message from Mr. Jason Dyke.
What's up, Jason?
Hey, guys. Slowly but surely, don't call me Shirley. Okay, Shirley.
That's an airport. Airplane joke.
Yeah. I know. But every time people say that, I always want to call him Shirley.
Of course, it's good stuff. Yeah.
I'm making my way through the back catalog of Cinema Crespediso, and I heard on your movie news from episode number 30.
Oh my god. Oh my god, episode 30.
Extra large and extra sexy.
because it's a triple X episode.
Yes. That David Yates is directing another Scarface remake after the last Harry Potter.
Oh, that's funny. That never happened.
I was skeptical since it's been 3 or 4 years, yeah, and he put out Fantastic Beasts.
Yeah, and Tarzan.
Yeah. I scurried on over to the IMDb Tribune and saw that Antoine Fuqua is now listed as the director.
Yeah.
But he's got about 10 projects, quote-unquote, in production. So who the hell knows or cares if it'll ever get made? Just wanted to give you an update and let you know how weird it is to listen to a movie podcast, Florida's number one movie podcast, old episodes. Hearing your growing excitement, a multi-episode arc of excited chatter for the upcoming Lone Ranger film.
Oh,
how I want to be able to warn those poor young Chris and Drewsters of the disappointment to come.
Yeah.
Take care, fellas. P.S. I saw your boy Brett Wrights on the Lethal Weapon show as a Texas Ranger giving Damon Wayans some sass.
Nice.
Good get.
That's awesome. Brett Rice was on the Lethal Weapon show. Good for him. Yeah, he gets... I'm telling you, Tom, Brett Rice gets work. That man works.
It's work.
It is funny if you go back and listen to that, like an old episode of... Like I would suggest, we don't put stuff behind the paywall. It's all out there. All the way back to episode 1. Terrible episode 1.
Oh, God, it's awful.
I would honestly say skip 1 and 2. Listen to episode 3 because we had SBK on episode 3. We talked about Django Unchained. That's how long ago that was.
Good one.
But go back and listen to episode 20. Because we had Tom on there. That was maybe one of the very few shows, Tom, that where we did 3 segments. We usually only do a 2-segment show. We did 3 segments that day. Because
I wouldn't shut up?
Because you had some great stories. We call it having great stories. You say not shut up. We say great stories. Check out episode 20 and then go back and look for anniversary 1, anniversary 2, and 3. Listen to all those episodes. We always have a lot of fun. But also, just like Jason pointed out, there's like movie news where we're talking about the news of the day and whether or not we're excited for something or we think something's gonna be
we're
bad.
Like, oh, that sounds awesome.
So now if you listen to it, that now, be like, oh, look at these guys, these idiots think this movie was gonna turn out good and it turned out so bad, you know, or shit
sometimes
like that.
Sometimes they have potential, Chris.
Well, of course, you know, we're not perfect. Thanks, Jason. We really appreciate it. Anything else in the Vox Populi?
That is all, good sir.
That brings us to the end of the show, which means, Tom,
I got something.
What do you got?
Just a random, silly movie.
Totally.
Actually, about movies.
I'm gonna write this down. Go ahead. Here we go.
I was over at a friend's house the other day, and there was this really wacky movie on, and it was just like backroom chatter, but I kept being drawn to it, and it was pretty wild.
And this movie?
And I'd really like to know if either one of you have ever seen it.
We'll see. We're going to find out.
Depends on what movie it is.
It's a mad, 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 mad world.
The Mel Brooks classic.
Oh, champion. Yeah. It sucked me right straight in.
Isn't it weird how... Was that your first time seeing it?
Were
you drawn to it?
It's the first time noticing it.
I remember this for some reason.
I think it was my first time noticing.
Yeah. It's funny how that works. That happened to me with the Warriors, where I saw the Warriors when I was really young, just caught it on TV, and then I saw it again like in my 20s, and I was like, why am I drawn to this for some reason? I feel like this is, I know this. And
I had getting
sucked into it.
Dude, I had one like that. It was, now, I always kind of hated Japanese cars.
Okay.
I was always pro-union. I'm an old guy from the, you know, long time ago.
Sure.
And when I was a kid, my mom took me to Tora.
Mm-hmm.
And, God, it had to have been 66. When did it come out?
Early 60s, because that's John Wayne. Yeah. John Wayne war movie. He made those. He was big on the World War II movies in the 50s and 60s.
And I went to see Tora in the movie, and I had no idea how it impacted me. I had no idea that it was a part of my disdain of the Japanese cars and some of their things. And it really sunk into me, and I had no idea. Well, I was scanning through the channels. Gosh, this was only a decade ago, so I was well a grown man. Mm-hmm. I was scanning through the channels, and I didn't know what it was, but it just captivated me that I stopped at this channel and went, wow. And I just couldn't change the channel, and it took me a while before I put together that it was actually Tora, the movie that truly impacted a six-year-old little kid, you know. And
that's
and
amazing.
It helped me to kind of put together some of my feelings and how they were towards you know.
Because movies are media, and when you watch it, especially at young ages, it definitely... I've come around on that. I used to think, people aren't affected by movies. We're smart enough to not be affected by that. But it works on a different level. Subconscious level, especially when you're young, that it can affect you and alter the way you think and you feel your entire life. And then
the realization of watching that movie as a grown man and seeing how it impacted you from such a young age, it just was a waterfall just falling on me, man. It was crazy.
Yeah, that's amazing how that happens. Yeah. So how do you feel about Japanese cars now?
I've come to terms a little bit with them. I'm actually more concerned about their radiation levels.
Oh, yeah. Those Fukushima fish, you gotta watch out for those things. Aren't you a vegan, though, or a vegetarian?
I'm a vegetarian. I try to pay attention to what I'm doing and be smart. You know, you gotta pay attention. You can go through life stupid, or you can go through life paying attention, and I choose paying attention.
But ignorance is bliss, Tom. It is, so much so.
Until you're watching your kidneys melt out your butt, you didn't take care of yourself.
That's true.
Your guts is bliss.
Your guts, what else is bliss? Your
bacon.
Bacon is bliss, bacon Tom. Is bliss. Bacon is bliss, buddy.
Dude, pork belly. Well, all
it
right.
You, can you can't. You cannot.
I went to.
You
a,
cannot convince me
I went
otherwise.
To, I went to a buffet in Vegas where I had chicken, duck, pork belly, homemade sausage, and I think there were. Oh, was there beef in there somewhere?
Did you get the beef sweats?
You know what? I even went into it not feeling good, like hungover, sick, not feeling well. I was like, I'm going to eat all these foods. And then I felt like, oh, I got to throw up. I was like, no, I'm going to digest this shit.
I'm going to keep it.
I almost threw it up. I was like, it's way too expensive to throw up. I ain't throwing this up. It was so good.
Dude, I haven't had bacon in 30 years. I haven't had a hot dog. I don't even remember what that stuff tastes like.
Hot dogs, okay. Yeah, hot dogs.
You're totally okay not eating hot dogs.
Yeah, hot dogs.
Oh, that's where you draw the line, eh?
It's nothing but lips and assholes.
I mean, at least the bacon is like, the bacon is a piece of the belly. Yeah. It's like, it's coming from a specific spot.
I know it's fat. I know it's pure
nice,
fat.
But it's nice to know you draw the line somewhere.
Yes.
There is some sort of a standard. Yeah, no, you can go without hot dogs, but bacon all. Your heart thanks you for no bacon, but your taste buds are screaming in pain.
Yeah, they are.
And
despair.
And despair. No flavor. It's been years. No. How long have you said?
78, man.
Wow. Bacon's gotten so much better since then. They genetically modify it now. And so, they make pigs that are pure bacon. You cut its head in half. It's just bacon, bacon slices. It's pure bacon.
Well, I've got this recipe for kale bacon that is just incredible.
Okay, explain this. Explain this to me while I pour myself another beer.
No, no way. I'm full of shit. There's no such thing as kale bacon.
Yeah, no.
Drew, come up with a kale bacon recipe.
Dude, they tried. Trust.
I only did that for you to make fun of me. That was like me being a straight guy dude. And you just let it go away.
I'm actually pretty bad at doing that.
I mean, bro, I work at a vegan spot now, and they try and pass off tempeh as bacon, and it's not bacon.
Where do you work?
Dixie Dharma, Market on South.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
What are you doing there?
Cooking.
I love those guys.
Yeah, I'm in the kitchen.
I used to go there all the time. I kind of wore it out. Don't go there like I used to.
Yeah. Well, I'm working there now. So if you ever come in, if you come in during the day, I'll probably be there cooking your food.
Aw, the Brussels sprouts are
delicious.
Hype.
Yeah, they are.
Wait, what are we doing with Brussels sprouts here?
It's because they're deep fried and covered in apple cider reduction.
Oh, is that why?
Yeah.
Because they're 900 calories?
Of course.
Well, that's the thing I've heard with, what's that one by Rollins?
Ethos?
Ethos. I heard about that place.
Because it's
a vegan kitchen, yeah. Right? So you think, oh, well, everything must be healthy for you.
Just because it's vegan doesn't mean it's healthy.
No, everything there is
Cheetos incredible. Are vegan, brother.
That's true. Yeah, what was he saying? Bacos?
Yeah,
bacon bits.
Bacon bits? They're vegan.
Yes, they are.
They're 100% vegan. There is no animal product in those whatsoever.
And not good for you.
No. All it is colored salt.
Guys, update tornado watch in Central Florida. So that's our custody. So weather report. I hope that helps you wherever and whenever you are right now. But currently, right now, this moment, tornado watch in Central Florida.
No, you know that that storm system that ripped through Mississippi yesterday?
I don't know.
It's coming.
We're not live, are we? These people can't running for shelter right now because of what you just said.
Yeah, no, it's not live, as a matter of fact. No,
it's so, like, tomorrow when they hear this, they're going to, if they survive the storm.
That's why I said I hope this helps people wherever and whenever they are right now. Yeah, I hope it helps them 100%.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Tom, that's correct. We're not live.
No, but yeah. No,
if this was live, what a shit show if this was live.
Giving a weather update. Yeah. Good job, mate.
Same storm system.
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know one ripped through Mississippi. I had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Mississippi. We have a listener or two over there.
Yeah, like four states in the south yesterday got hit by this one storm system that's just ripping up tornadoes.
Shout out to our handful of southern state listeners. Guys, stop being so racist. Actually, our listeners are the cool ones. Tell your neighbors to stop being so racist. You know what? That actually reminds me, real quick, apropos of almost nothing, but before we get to the very end of the show here... Drew Skogman's going to die for all of us. Here we go.
He's trying to breathe the beer, not drink the beer. We are supposed to send it down the pipe to the left, the pipe to the right.
That happened to me this morning with some iced coffee, and Drew started making fun of me for it, so that's what you get.
Here you
Drew.
Go.
I asked him if he was a cyborg, because he said it went down the wrong pipe, and I said, well, you have pipes in your body now?
Which is exactly what Tom just said. Common descriptor.
No, Tom pipes. Was right there. I was attempting to breathe the beer.
Yeah, going down the wrong pipe.
I was trying to get the liquid in my lungs.
Yeah. Aren't we at that stage yet where we can breathe the beer? Tom, if we could breathe the beer, how great would life be?
There is this alcohol vapor thing that I've seen promoted around once in a while.
I've heard of that. Yeah, sure. Yeah. In the relationship, like vodkas. Though,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like
they'll vaporize the vodka and you can breathe in the vapor. It's the same thing as vaporizing nicotine or anything else, I think.
But how hard does it hit you? Does it get you like drunk fast? Or
yeah, they say it does. I tried it a couple of times, but I didn't get much off of it.
Really?
Yeah, I could have stayed there for a minute and see how it worked. Sure. Of course, I could have. There's no wrong pipe there, hey Drew.
Yeah, but you know that thing is. I mean, if we're vaporizing alcohol, that brings all new meaning to the word beer bong.
Oh, hi yo, hoo-ah.
You've got nothing.
Took me a second. I had two different apps. I gotta
You're
work
so
on this.
Awful
I know.
This.
If I'm gonna do trivia, I'm gonna have to figure this out. Drew is getting himself a beer. While he gets himself a beer. I did want to say real quick, I want to plug this. I forget to mention this in the plugs because I didn't write it down. That's why Tommy writes stuff down, especially when you're an abuser of substances like we are. What's the Fuss? What's the Fuss is a podcast here in town. Shout outs to Rocky Bullwinkle, Bill Winkle. Shout outs to Rocky Bullwinkle and frequent guest of the show, Steve Etchy, who produces that show on the Pift Radio Network. Actually, yeah, exactly. Thomas Signature's right there. He just did that a couple weeks ago. He had me on their show yesterday. We actually recorded two episodes. One is out now, immediately, on the What's the Fuss podcast. Check that out. Episode 2 will come out in a week. We talked about a whole bunch of different stuff. We were drinking and having a good time. The second episode is actually a bit of a shit show because the whiskey bottles started getting passed around.
Oh, yeah.
And I borrowed Drew's kiln. I don't know if you noticed that, Drew.
Yeah, I noticed.
And if you don't know what a kiln is, Google that. And it got ridiculous a little bit. So check out the What's the Fuss show. I did two episodes. It's a lot of fun. We'll be having, Drew, we'll be having those guys in here in studio probably sometime in February.
Sweet.
February or March. But we're going to be working that out. Also, with this Rocky guy, very nice guy, but he's got some philosophical differences between the two of us. But we were able, off mic, we had some interesting discussions, just ways to approach life and things that are going on. And we differed in a lot of ways, but we're still able to, talk about it civilly and things like that. So actually, I invited him to do, Tom, what I've been doing lately is I haven't done one in a minute. I've been meaning to do it ever since the Trump election, since the bullshit.
This machine kills fascists.
I started doing bonus episodes where I title it This Machine Kills Fascists so people know it's not the movie episode. I'm not talking about movies. I'm talking about politics and world events, right? But I use the Crespediso feed because, I'm going to come up with a new website and a new feed and resubmit and all this stuff? Fuck it. I got a thing. I have a platform already, right? But I do try to market separately, so I don't want to tick people off. I try to keep the things.
It's delicate balance, for sure.
Yeah, delicate balance. It's a separation of church and state.
Some people just want to hear us talk about movies. They don't necessarily care what we think about politics.
Yeah, which I care about, which I respect.
Yeah,
fair enough.
Which is fine.
It's cinema Crespediso, not politics Crespediso. So I do a separate thing.
Yeah, you're nonpartisan. This is a nonpartisan show, right?
Yeah.
No, we're still pretty lefty. We're still pretty lefty show.
to
be fair.
With my infrequent atheist rants
and
things of that nature.
That's actually a quote from an iTunes review, exactly. Infrequent atheist rants.
And by virtue of your triple-digit IQ.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I did. 101 is triple digits.
I went to a gifted school.
Drew went to a gifted school.
Actually, my mother refuses. She died without telling me my IQ.
Oh my god.
You're not supposed to know, man.
Oh my god.
She refuses. She
you're
refuses
not supposed to
tell
know.
Me.
It's and, bad.
You're not no, supposed to know. Was, do you know, Tom?
I know.
I asked her, too.
I was like,
where's the documentation? She said,
can you write down the number?
She said,
Tom won't even tell me. I want to know.
She said, I burned it. So
you're not supposed to know, because if you knew you had a 70 or 180 IQ, or even if you knew you had 110 IQ, you would box yourself into that.
I already did.
I
went to a gifted school filled with a bunch of smart people.
So you're not a 101.
We do that.
he's a 102 at least. At least.
We do that
but
already.
But see, and if you are a buck 60, then you'd, you'd change your swag, wouldn't you? Nobody'd
Probably
you,
not.
Oh, you'd be a jackass.
You
would be a jackass.
I'm already kind of a jackass.
You'd be a bigger jackass.
An even bigger jackass. 160 is pretty high, though. Goddamn. 160, that's a hell of a mark, Tom.
I mean,
you wouldn't give me your number, but in a way, you sort of did.
If I had 160 IQ, I probably would have been an engineer.
Yeah, that's true.
I really like to surround myself with intelligent people and generally far more intelligent than me.
Oh, yeah. So you can learn.
That's the way.
And yeah. I've got a nice pool of 160 and up IQ people that I roll with, and it makes me feel good. I'm 20 points from them, but I can at least stand in the same room with them and not look stupid. And that's really all I'm trying to do.
I feel like if I can hang out with you while I hang out with these people, then things might be going a little better. So we gotta hang out more, Tom, is what I'm trying to say. But maybe I should drink less when we do it, though, because it becomes one of those things. Drew knows what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
You won't even look at me in the face. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Look at me in the ass. You know what I'm talking about.
Nuts.
You are looking me in the ass. Now you won't look away. He got uncomfortable. All right. Let's bring this puppy home. Let's land this fucker. I'm already on beer 4 or 5, and I was supposed to go out later. I don't know if that's going to happen. That's the wrong page. Here we go. Lightning round time. Tom, you know how this goes. This is your 5th time on the show minimum. I can actually double check that.
Yes.
We have people who are vying to be the number one most booked guest on the show.
And this jackass don't know, hadn't watched a movie this year.
But which is fine, because some of our favorite guests don't watch movies. Yeah. It doesn't matter. It's all about who we like having fun with.
At least I used to work on movies.
Exactly.
You've been on episode 20. That was your first time, which was amazing. The first time we were ever sponsored by OBP. Then episode 52, that's 1 year. Episode 104, 2 years. 156, 3 years. This one's not exactly 4 years, just because it's been a little crazy. Technically, we're like a week off, a week, maybe 2 weeks off from the anniversary. But it's our show. We knew it. We set the rules around here, right? So I'm going to go ahead and write that down. For 156 to 211. See, I should be doing this off mic, but I don't give a fuck, man. This is
you people like a little glimpse of what's happening behind the scenes.
It's called that inside baseball, and I like hearing it, so I'm doing a show that I like to listen to.
Yeah, what's that deal where movies will roll the credits, then after the credits are rolled, they'll start showing you some outtakes? That's kind of what's going on right now,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely, which I feel like that was big for a minute, and they haven't really done, comics haven't done that in a while.
Well, let's bring it back.
Let's bring back the outtakes. Actually, I have played like some... Like earlier, I deleted it. I almost kept it, but when we were doing the mic check and we were just bullshitting for a couple minutes, sometimes I keep that and then play that at the very, very end.
Oh, thanks, buddy.
No, but this one I deleted. I was like, fuck it, doesn't matter. But this makes your fifth appearance, Tom.
Yay!
So that means now it is time for your fifth lightning round.
We give you the questions. You give us the answers. Time for the lightning round.
Tom, I have 10 questions, as you know, and I need 10 answers. Are you ready to go?
Yes, sir.
Yes, okay. Drew, start the clock.
Go.
Number one, horny toads or horn-rimmed glasses?
Horny toads.
Number two, where is the real Willy Wonka?
Agartha.
What was that?
Agartha.
Okay, number three. I still don't know what that is. Number three. Have you ever caught lightning in a bottle?
Yeah, and it was liquid.
Ooh. Ah, I don't know. Number four. What is your favorite beach?
Jupiter.
Ooh, number five. Have you heard the good news?
Every day.
Number six. Is a horse really a horse?
Of course.
Exactly. Number seven. Would you rather climb a mountain or scuba dive into an ocean trench? Talk about Mariana's Trench.
Climb a mountain.
Number eight. What is dark matter?
The opposite of light matter.
Number nine. Describe your perfect Thursday morning.
Thursday morning. A little turmeric coffee. Getting on a treadmill, watching an episode of Longmire.
Okay. Sorry, I'm Brett Rice. Past guest of the show, hoping future guest.
And just waiting on the weekend.
Oh, nice. All right. And then number 10, green, purple, silver. Rank them.
Silver, green, purple.
Number 1, 2, 3?
Yes.
All right. There we go. That was your lightning round with Tom the Beer Guy.
How did I do?
You did the best. You passed. Your IQ is at least 180. We have two bags. Blue bag with polka dots and the brown bag. These are your swag bag choices. Which bag do you want to go home with today?
Well, the blue bag is far too flashy for me. I'll take the brown bag.
All right, brown bag. We're going earth tones. Drew Sakagwa, please break up the bag. And let Tom know what he may get to go home with today.
Sir, you may get to go home with... Ha ha! Jack's Dookie. Jokes and Gags dog poo!
Fake dog poo!
You can trick your Dookie. Friends. It looks real.
Put it on the ground, trick your friends.
You've got a copy of The Hobbit, The Battle of the Five Armies on Blu-ray, DVD, and digital instant combo.
Do you have a Blu-ray player?
Yes, I do.
Oh, perfect.
I'm not sure how it works.
Oh, you put the disc in and hit play. That's all you gotta do.
You've got a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles The Party Wagon 3D mini puzzle.
You got a puzzle.
It's got 18 pieces.
An 18-piece puzzle, Tom. Can you handle 18 pieces?
I know a 3-year-old that can.
Yeah.
And holy crap, a lot of stickers.
We got
from
Cinema Crespo.
Obey Giant, FilmFlorida.org, What's the Fuss, and some other stuff as well.
Yeah, we got, again, shout out to the What's the Fuss podcast. Check those guys out. And FloridaFilm.org is a wonderful film-based organization here in Florida. We'll have Jen Vargas back in studio soon. Tom. You gotta take that back home. You gotta take all that. You gotta give it away to all the people that you love in your life. All the little people. Or we put the bag away and you take what Trisha has in the box that's right over here.
What's in the box?
You know how this goes.
That box looks fucking empty to me. Oh, yeah, I saw him pick it up. There's like nothing in that box.
It looks
like,
but it, I, you know what?
It could be empty.
It could be empty.
There could be a million dollar bill
there
in that.
There could be a single bill in there. Yes. The possibilities are limitless.
There could be a diamond the size of your fist in this box.
All right, Monty Hall.
That would still be quite light. So do you want what's in the box? Or do you want what's in the bag? Here we go. It's up to you. You tell us.
Oh, decisions, decisions. But that is a big shiny box.
It is. Oh, and it's all
Christmas
wrapped up.
Christmas presents and stickers.
Drewster whipped up that box himself. He did the work.
And I really don't know how to use my Blu-ray player. Do I get to keep the box too, or what's
no,
in
no,
the box?
No, just the box stays. Just what's in the box.
You know what? I'm going to take the bait and take the box.
All right. Here we go. I'm going to get the bag out of here. Give me that bag. Go ahead. Pop that top. Reach in there and read to people. Tell people what you got. As I put that away.
A puppy. I got a puppy.
You got a puppy. Aww, oh, and his name is Hercules. And he's all yours. And he pooped in that box.
I think the puppy's dead. There are no air holes in this box.
There are no air holes in that box. What does that say, Tom?
Ladies and gentlemen, I've been had.
What do you got there?
I have snow in a can.
Snow in a can!
Wait, what?
Snow in the can!
But isn't snow just water?
Time to be your guy!
So
you have snow in the can! Just add water!
Wait, it turns into water?
Snow!
And then put it in the freezer and.
Put it in the freezer and then it's nice.
So what is in the can?
No, it makes sweet cans of synthetic snow.
It's synthetic snow, Tom.
Make your own snowman.
I'm not coming back.
Buttons and a ribbon are included.
That's right. You can turn that into snow. Ingredients for a snowman, Tom.
Open the
you
can
got snow in a can.
Pour out.
Wow.
Yes.
Do not reach into can. Open bag of white powder and pour it back into the can. Fill can halfway with water. Stir, and the powder instantly grows into snow. Scoop out some of the snow and add more water to create more snow.
Yeah, instant snow.
Use for fun and decoration. Makes 24 ounces of synthetic
24
snow.
Ounces of synthetic snow. Yeah, Tom, yeah.
And then I'll pour some cherry juice over it and make a snow cone.
Oh, do not eat
I
no.
Would not eat
Don't eat no.
Don't eat the yellow snow.
Don't eat the yellow snow.
Don't eat the snow ever.
We're also going to make sure you got a couple stickers. You got the stickers, so we're good to go. Tom, thank you so much, man. We appreciate it, buddy.
You guys are awesome.
You are awesome.
You are awesome.
You're awesome. We love having you on.
We do. It's so much fun.
Drew, thank you very much.
You're very
I appreciate welcome. It. Everyone, thank you for downloading and listening. We appreciate it. Rate and review us on iTunes and on Stitcher Radio. Make sure you break up the big banks, read more books, free Mumia Abu-Jamal. Be excellent to each other. Turn water into wine. Consecrate our Lord and Savior, etc., etc. Buddhism, Taoism, stuff about religion, infinite sadness.
Sadhguru.
I love you all.